traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
An Oklahoma man has devoted his whole life to a special breed of horses, and in doing so, he has preserved an important part of not only Oklahoma, but of the nation's history.
Do you know that aside from the usual species you often see on a farm or on the television screen, there are some exceptionally unique ones born once in a thousand years?
The Choctaw have been breeding since the 16th century, and the Chickasaw, and all the southeastern tribes, and each of them bred for specific things.
Their unparalleled beauty, color blend, and form are next to none. Wondering what they look like? Grab a seat and sit close as we unveil 20 unique breeds. Numbers 1 and 10 will blow your minds. Let's dive into it. Number 1. The Appaloosa Horse. Have you seen anything as gorgeous as this recently? I bet not. Spotted horses have existed for a long time, and the Appaloosa, a type of spotted horse, has been winning the hearts of horse lovers for hundreds of years. The Appaloosa is a warm-blooded horse breed that weighs between 900 and 1,200 pounds and stands between 14.2 and 16 hands in height. They are compact, yet muscular horses that can excel in any discipline and suit all riders, taking after their Mustang ancestors. The most notable characteristic of the Appaloosa is its physical appearance. All Appaloosas carry the leopard complex gene, which creates their spotted coat. They also have striped hooves, mottled skin, and a visible white sclera around their eyes. They are known for their colorful spotted coats, with common colors such as bay, black, palomino, and chestnut.
It makes me feel cool. I don't know why, but it just does. Like, I feel cool in it.
Everything that's put together, it has a story.
In terms of temperament, Appaloosas are known for being intelligent, independent, and brave. The breed's name likely comes from the area around the Palouse River, where the Nez Perce people lived. Initially, they were called Palouse horses, but the name changed to Appaloosa. In the late 1870s, when the U.S. government was trying to take over Native American land, the breed was almost lost, but in the 1930s, interest in the breed revived, and a few surviving horses helped to re-establish the breed. Number 2. The Knabstrupper. The Knabstrupper horse is an old and rare breed. These horses come from the same original stock as the Spanish horses that gave rise to the Appaloosa. The Knabstrupper and the Appaloosa share the same unusual color patterns. They are spotted horses. The color variations range from the whole body spots of the classic leopard pattern, sometimes called tiger pattern, in bay, black, and chestnut, to blanket spotting, varnish roan, and snowflake patterns. While their unusual color patterns make them eye-catching and unique to look at, what makes the Knabstrupper truly special is their superb temperament and kind, willing nature. Bred as a working horse and selected as much for attitude and ability as for beauty, the Knabstrupper is a true family horse. In terms of size, the Knabstrupper typically stands between 15 and 16 hands, with solid, strong legs, well-shaped feet, a neat head, and an elegant long neck. They are short-backed and strong, making them a true warm-blood horse. Though not extravagant, they are good movers and easy to ride. They jump well and are bold, willing horses with good minds and kind dispositions. The only issue is that there aren't many of them. Only a few thousand are registered worldwide, but they are becoming increasingly popular. You can now find them in places like the United States, Canada, and Australia. Number 3. Choctaw Indian Pony. Long before the arrival of European settlers, the Choctaw people settled in the southeastern United States and had a special relationship with a certain pony. However, they were forcibly removed from their homeland in 1831, and so thousands of Choctaws began their arduous and pain-filled journey to the promised lands of the Choctaw Nation in the West, an area now known as Oklahoma. More than 2,500 Choctaws died along the way. One Choctaw chief referred to the removal as a trail of tears and death, a phrase that would forever describe the forced relocation of the Choctaw people as the Trail of Tears. Accompanying them were small, sturdy, brightly inquisitive, and highly intelligent ponies that walked with them loyally and tirelessly carrying them. In fact, many of these ponies died alongside their people during the Trail of Tears. To the Choctaw, this agile pony, ranging in height from 13.2 to 14.2 hands, had great value. The pony symbolizes wealth, glory, honor, and prestige. They come in various colors, including bay, black, and chestnut. These ponies were used for everything from hunting to war to carrying goods and people, but most importantly, they were used in ceremonies and rituals. The pony, too, has been rounded up, relocated, and nearly eradicated, but it continues to fight for its very existence in the United States. Efforts are being made to preserve and protect these ponies in honor of their importance to the Choctaw people and their rich cultural heritage. Number 4. The Soraya Horse. The Soraya is a breed of ancient horses that developed on Portugal's Iberian Peninsula. Their primitive markings, convex profile, and grulla coloring clearly reflect their ancient origins. The Soraya are a fascinating and extremely rare breed. In fact, they are one of the very few types of original wild horses still living, with as few as 200 individuals. Because of its mysterious history, the Soraya horse inevitably draws the curiosity of many horse enthusiasts around the world. How do they look? They're on the small side, usually standing between 13 and 14 hands high, with a compact and muscular build. They have a unique look, with a convex profile, long ears, and a high-set tail. They come in a variety of colors, such as chestnut, bay, and gray. Known for being smart, tough, and strong, these horses have a deep connection to the wild horses of the Iberian Peninsula. They've been used throughout history for various purposes, including work, riding, and even as war horses. They're independent and intelligent, making them easy to train. Unfortunately, Sorayas were pushed to the brink of extinction as they lost much of their natural habitat due to human activity. Soraya horse numbers sharply declined as they were confined to smaller territories by industrialization. Nevertheless, they are highly valued by horse enthusiasts and considered a precious part of the equine heritage. Let's take a look at another unique breed. Number 5. The Shire Horse. The magnificent and rare Shire Horse is best known for its height and strength, holding records as the tallest horse in the world. Resembling the Clydesdale, these horses are massive, with large hooves and feathering on their legs. Despite their imposing size, Shire horses are typically calm, docile, and eager to please. These gentle giants can stand up to 18 hands high and weigh over a ton. The breed's name comes from the region where they originated, the English countryside, which also inspired the Shire in The Lord of the Rings. However, a hobbit would certainly have a hard time riding one of these giants. The fact that this breed has been around for 800 years in places like Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire shows how versatile the Shire horse is. It can work on a farm, pull heavy loads, or even serve as a war horse.
Thoroughbreds are all hard, and that you see is definitely an underlying sort of common denominator with all these guys. They're all so different, but they just have so much heart that they've got a lot to give.
Unlike other large horses, Shire horses were bred for war, which is why they are trained to remain calm in the chaos of battle. This breed needed to stay composed in its role. Henry II recognized that knights in heavy armor required horses strong enough to carry their full weight. As a result, the Shire horse breed was developed to fulfill the king's demand for horses with specific traits necessary for his wars, thus leading to the birth of the Shire horse. Number 6. The Canadian Horse. Behold the Little Iron Horse, a solidly built equine, small but robust, with strong hocks, bright eyes, and small but sensitive ears. The horse was developed in France and brought to Quebec on French King Louis XIV's ships in the 1660s. 3.5 centuries later, in 2002, the National Horse of Canada Act recognized the Canadian horse as the national breed. According to the Canadian Horse Breeders website, they were probably a mix of different breeds, such as Belgian, Percheron, Breton, and Dales. These breeds combined to create what is now its own breed. Only the toughest pioneers made it through those first hard decades, which is how they earned the nickname Little Iron Horse.
On top of that, they're easy, what you call an easy keeper. I don't think you're going to see a skinny horse around here.
The hooves of Canadian horses are so tough that they often don't even need horseshoes. They grow long, thick coats in the winter, so they don't require blankets and can live outside year-round as long as they have some shelter. Like many heritage breeds, they don't get sick often. They have a strong immune system and don't suffer from colic or founder like many other horses. Today, the Canadian horse is considered a rare breed, but efforts are being made to preserve and protect these horses. Number 7. Caspian Horse. The Caspian horse, commonly referred to as the Horse of Kings, is one of the world's oldest and purest breeds, dating back over 3,000 years to ancient Persia. This small but resilient animal boasts an extraordinary history, intertwined with cultures and civilizations across time and space. Caspian horses have short, slender heads with large eyes, a small mouth, and wide nostrils positioned low on the face. Their hooves are very strong and oval-shaped, resembling those of a pig more than a horse. They typically stand between 11 and 12 hands high and come in a variety of colors, including bay, black, chestnut, and gray.
You want some real oats?
No. This is good. Look at this. This is the first time you've been touched, eh?
The Caspian horse has a rich history and was highly valued by ancient civilizations for its beauty, speed, and endurance. They were used in warfare and as a means of transportation. The breed nearly became extinct in the 20th century due to urbanization, but a group of dedicated breeders in Iran and the United Kingdom worked hard to revive it. Here's another uncommon breed. Number 8. The Nakota Horse. The Nakota horse is a rare and unique breed that originated in North Dakota, United States. Known for their intelligence, endurance, and versatility, the breed was developed from horses originally brought to the area by European settlers in the late 1800s. The Nakota were nearly wiped out at the beginning of the 20th century when ranchers worked with state and federal agencies to make it harder for other groups to graze their livestock on the same land. However, when Theodore Roosevelt National Park was established in the 1940s, a few horses were accidentally trapped inside, which ultimately saved the breed. Over time, these horses interbred with wild horses that roamed the area, resulting in a distinct breed. One of the most notable characteristics of the Nakota horse is its distinctive coloring. They come in a range of colors including blue roan, red roan, and black, with some horses having white markings on their legs and faces.
They've already got the leading down a little, and now they get the movement of the line. Very nice.
They are also known for their strong and sturdy build, well-defined musculature, and deep chests. The Nakota horse is easy to train and handle and can excel in a variety of disciplines, including ranch work, trail riding, dressage, and jumping. Additionally, they are used in therapeutic riding programs and as therapy animals. Number 9. Acalteque Horse. The Acalteque is a hot-blooded breed of horse known for its gorgeous and unique appearance, with a coat that seems almost metallic. This breed originated in Turkmenistan and the Central Asia region, where it was bred, used, and prized by Turkic nomads. The Acalteque is renowned for its diverse coat colors, natural stamina, and exceptional hardiness. During the early days of Soviet Russia, when times were difficult, the breed's numbers dwindled. It wasn't until 1979 that the Acalteque was introduced to the United States. The Acalteque is one of the rarest and most unique full-sized horse breeds in the world. In fact, the breed is considered one of the fastest horses globally, capable of reaching speeds of up to 40 miles per hour.
They are an animal that becomes your partner, that becomes your friend, that will do whatever it is you want to do, and they'll do it to the best of their abilities.
The Acalteque is also known for its intelligence and trainability, making it popular in dressage and jumping competitions. Its beauty and elegance have earned it a reputation as one of the most beautiful horse breeds in the world, born only once in 1,000 years. Number 10. The American Cream Draft. The American Cream Draft horses are something special. First off, the color. They're a creamy white color that'll make your heart melt. But it's not just their looks that make them stand out, it's also their personality. Baseball and apple pie have a reputation for being quintessential all-American icons. But there's another, lesser-known symbol of Americana, the American Cream Draft Horse. The only draft horse breed developed in the United States, the Cream is a much younger breed than its European draft horse cousins. While the Clydesdale, Percheron, Belgian, and other European draft breeds were established several centuries ago,
today I'm going to share with you 10 fascinating facts about the American Cream Draft Horse. Let's get started.
The American Cream Draft, on the other hand, didn't come into existence until the early 1900s. These horses are known for being gentle giants with a calm and docile nature. The breed originated from the United States, specifically in the Midwest. Even though they're big and strong, they're also surprisingly nimble and agile. They're great at all sorts of activities, from carriage rides to horse shows. One of the things that makes these horses so very unique is their rarity. They're considered a critical breed, meaning very few of them are left. But that also makes them all the more special. A few organizations are working to preserve and promote this breed, so hopefully we'll see more of these beautiful horses around in the future. Number 11, Suffolk Punch. The Suffolk Punch is the oldest draft horse breed in England, named after Suffolk, a county in East Anglia where it likely started. These horses are known for their impressive size and strength, usually standing between 16 and 18 hands tall and weighing up to 2,200 pounds. Their solid build earns them the nickname Punch Horse, and it's easy to see why you wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of their power. They were bred for farm work, aimed at creating a strong and reliable horse. Despite their large stature, Suffolk Punches are gentle and make great family pets. They are also intelligent and trainable, making them easy to work with. Unfortunately, the Suffolk Punch is now a rare breed, with only about 150 left in England as of 2011. The American Livestock Breeds Conservancy also lists them as endangered. Number 12, Belgian Brabant. Brabants are a heavy draft breed that originated in the Brabant region of Belgium. They were one of the founding influences of the Belgian horse and contributed to many other Western European heavy draft horse breeds. In Europe, they are known as the Belgian draft horse. By avoiding the introduction of foreign blood into the breed and practicing selective breeding, Belgian breeders were able to develop a heavy draft horse with tremendous power.
There are hundreds of different horse breeds, and each one has their own unique story. So saddle up and join me on a ride to discover the horse.
The Brabant is a large, strong horse, standing between 16 and 17 hands tall. The Belgian draft, which is more common in the United States, isn't quite as massive as the Brabant, but it shares the same size and shape. The Belgian draft is known for being friendly and easy to care for. These horses are still used for plowing, logging, pulling carriages, hitches, sleighs, and other types of draft work. Number 13, Norwegian Fjord. Are you ready to meet one of the most unique and ancient horse breeds in the world? Well, here is the Norwegian Fjord horse, a compact and sturdy equine with a personality as strong as its build. They resemble Przewalski's wild horse. Most of the time, they're brown, and their short hair and straight manes have a black stripe running right down the middle. The manes would keep growing if left alone, but they're usually kept shorter to meet breed standards. Not only is it their looks that make them stand out, but they are also incredibly hardy and have a great temperament.
Fjords began as a breed in Western Norway. They were ridden by the Vikings and also used as war horses. They're very popular nowadays as trail horses, pack animals, equine therapy horses, and also in use under saddle and in harness.
These horses were domesticated about 4,000 years ago and went on to become the horse of the Vikings. Archaeological excavations at Viking burial sites reveal that fjord horses were often buried alongside Vikings of high status. Fjord horse owners typically cut their horses' manes to a length of 2 to 4 inches, making grooming easier and showing off the horse's neck arch. This style also makes the mane stand up straight, giving them a very Viking-like appearance, reminiscent of Ragnar Lothbrok from the TV show. They are also known for their endurance and hardiness, which is why they are a great choice for trail riding and other outdoor activities. Fjord horses are gentle and easy to handle, making them ideal for families and beginners. Number 14, Gypsy Vanner. The Gypsy Vanner horse is a striking breed created by the gypsies in Great Britain. For over 50 years, they were selectively bred to be the ideal horse for pulling gypsy caravans. In 1996, they made their debut in the United States. Known for their majestic appearance and calm demeanor, Gypsy Vanners have won the affection of horse lovers around the globe. Their long manes, fluffy feathering on their legs, and beautiful coat colors make them stand out. They are strong and friendly, which makes them suitable for both beginners and seasoned riders.
Gypsy carts and caravans can be found throughout Europe, but only one place in the world did a gypsy caravan become an art form.
Although they were initially bred for strength and versatility to work on farms and pull caravans, they have since become popular as show horses and companions. One of their most impressive traits is their unique coat colors and patterns. They can come in various colors, but black, bay, brown, and chestnut are the most common. Gypsy Vanners generally stand between 14 and 16 hands tall and weigh between 1,200 and 1,500 pounds. Number 15, Galachino. Galatino horses are something special. They're known for their unique and elegant conformation, with strong and well-defined musculature, known for their extravagant stamina, high energy level, and untiring ability to travel long distances. This breed is highly prized as a riding horse, as well as for competing in some sports events, including jumping. But it's not only their looks that make them stand out, they're also incredibly intelligent and trainable. The Galatino horse developed in Mexico but was bred from horses from Spain, specifically in the northwest of the Iberian Peninsula, and was later brought to the United States. They're considered a critical breed, which means there are very few of them left in the world, but efforts are ongoing to preserve them. Number 16. Bashkir Curly. You might not have seen many curly-coated horses, but that doesn't mean they are new at all. While they may not have been a distinctive breed, horses with curly coats have been depicted in ancient Chinese art dating back to 161 AD Bashkir. Curlies are known for their calm, friendly, and intelligent personalities, as well as their curly coats, kinked manes, and tails, all of which make them stand out. They can be any color, although chestnut is, without a doubt, the most common and popular. Additionally, these horses are the only ones that do not bother people with allergies. Because they are kind, patient, easy to train, and reliable, they are great for beginning riders and children. People who know them say that they seem to seek out and enjoy being with other people. The Sioux considered these frizzy-haired horses sacred. Only chiefs and medicine men could ride them. The Crow also used the curly horse, and some of the oldest records of the breed come from these two tribes. Number 17. Dale's Pony. The Dale's Pony is an attractive breed that originated in the Dales region of northern England. It has some ancestry from the Frisian horse, which contributes to its striking dark coats and graceful look. Known for their strength, stamina, and sure-footedness, these ponies are well-suited for work in the rough hills and moors of their homeland. They have a sturdy, compact build, typically standing between 13 and 14 hands high at the shoulder, and can weigh up to 1,000 pounds. Dale's ponies sport a thick, weather-resistant coat, available in various colors like black, brown, bay, and chestnut. They have a dense mane and tail, along with feathering on their lower legs.
Hi, we've just got home after about three and a half hours drive from the Nip and Stud. Had a fantastic day, saw Izzy's mum and Izzy's full brother Harry.
Their heads feature broad foreheads and a straight profile, complemented by large expressive eyes. Traditionally, Dale's ponies were used for tasks like plowing, carting, and pack work. They were often ridden by farmers and children, and even put to work in coal mines. These ponies are known for their gentle and docile nature, making them suitable for kids and beginners. They are also intelligent and trainable, which makes them easy to manage. Unfortunately, during World War II, their numbers dwindled to the brink of extinction. However, post-war conservation efforts have helped revive the population. Today, Dale's ponies are still used for various activities, but their numbers remain relatively low. The Rare Breed Survival Trust and the Livestock Conservancy classify them as critical or threatened. Number 18. Newfoundland Pony. The Newfoundland pony stands as a testament to Canada's equine heritage, specifically originating from the rugged terrain of Newfoundland. These ponies, known for their robust and well-muscled physique, exhibit a spectrum of coat colors, including the notably rare white. The breed was shaped by the harsh climate and environment of Newfoundland, which contributed to its development. Newfoundland ponies were used to till the ground, pull fishing nets, gather hay, carry in supplies, haul wood, and get around either on their own or by pulling a cart. They were, and still are, versatile ponies because they are strong, smart, brave, and really obedient. Number 19. Exmoor Pony. The Exmoor Pony is a small, hardy horse breed that originates from the Exmoor region of Devon and Somerset in southwest England. They are known for their stamina, strength, and agility, making them very well suited for working in rugged terrain and harsh weather conditions. The breed has a compact, muscular build and a thick, shaggy coat, which helps to protect them from the elements. They typically stand between 12 and 14 hands high and come in a variety of colors, including bay, brown, black, and gray.
The anchor is very interesting. When Exmoor was part of the Royal Forest.
Exmoor ponies have a long history of working with humans that dates back to the Iron Age. Farmers and commoners used them as a source of meat, milk, and labor, and they were also utilized as pack ponies carrying goods across the moorland. In the 20th century, the breed's population declined due to the mechanization of agriculture, along with the increased use of larger breed horses. Today, the Exmoor pony is considered a rare and endangered breed. Efforts are being made to conserve and promote the breed, which includes breeding programs, shows, and conservation grazing. Number 20. Altai Horses. The Alta horse, hailing from Central Asia's rugged Alta Mountains, is known for its exceptional hardiness, endurance, and adaptability to harsh environments. With a compact and muscular build and a thick and shaggy coat to protect against cold and wet conditions, these horses have been a staple of the region for centuries, used by nomadic tribes for transportation, hunting, and herding. Standing at an average of 13 to 14 hands, Alta horses come in a variety of colors.
Cooper is a 4-year-old stallion. He's a bay roan, and he hails from Prince Edward Island.
Such as black, chestnut, bay, and gray. Today, the breed is considered to be rare and is listed as critical by the Livestock Conservancy, with efforts being made to conserve and promote the breed through breeding programs and shows. Despite their small size, the Alta horse is incredibly strong and can carry heavy loads. Which one of them do you like the most and why? Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below.
Here you go, vegan marshmallows. It's stuck. All right, hey.
Can you hold the fucking light straight?
Okay, that's not supposed to.
I know what's wrong with it. Ain't got no gas in it.
Wow.
You idiot.
Pro meu lado. Traga a rédea dele pro meu lado aqui. Pro meu lado. Pro meu lado. Pra cá. Isso. Aí, toca ele. Isso. Isso.
Come on, Smokey. Good boy. Yee-hoo! Whoa.
I'm just gonna scooch in right here if you don't mind.
Shh, shh. We've been trying to contact you.
Oh. Do I need to call somebody and help you? Is your brain okay?
No, not in a million years. You get that thing away from me right now.
They're nice.
Hannibal. There you go.
Can't
see fucking shit out of this thing.
We ready or what?
Oh, hold on. I'm fucking with my hole.
Stanley. Stanley, come back. Stanley, if you come here, I'll get it off of you. Oh, God. Okay. Well.
Criminal offensive side eye.
Marshall. Oh! It's okay!
Morningstar is trying to eat from it while it's around his neck. That is so funny. Okay, come here. Okay. Oh gosh.
Merci! Oh bah oui, couillonne!
Bitch, who are you laughing at? Maybe you should pay attention to what you're doing.
Honey, that one don't have a light bulb. You're safe.
Don't you dare, miss! Hunter!
Hi, may I help you?
Lola. Hi, you're really cute. Hello. You're seriously cute.
Oh no, my brain, it's broken.
Let me help you. I'm sorry.
What
Little Mouse.
Boop.
How did you jump?
Oh, she calls that out.
Snoop challenge.
See how long it lasts.
I don't know how long this is going to last.
Hey, let me get a minute. Hey, let me get one too.
Let me hold on.
Yeah, you get that right there. What the dog doing?
Baby, ich würde alles für dich tun. Ich liege dir zu Füß. Ich bringe dich in die Höhe. Ich liebe deine Peu. Verdammt, hast du eine hübsche Peu. Und wie du sie so fein bewegen in meine Gesicht. Mon chéri, ich liebe deine Peu.
Peter, there's something off about that horse.
You have an eye for animals, Lois. This horse is brain damaged. That's why I got it so cheap.
Who are you?
Dobby, sir. Dobby the house elf.
Don't talk to me, I'll murder you. All the pain in my heart. I wanna kill you.
Helt vild och galen. Mickis.
Tá certo isso, velho? Que trabalho é esse? Hein? Tá certo você fazer isso? Você é maluco? Tá certo fazer isso?
Caution horses? That seems like a strange thing to warn somebody.
Come on! It's time to go get put up! Approach it one at a time. You can't do it if they're synced together. Oh my God! Woohoo! Yes!
Oh, hold on to my hand. Oh, no, I will do. Oh, you do it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Go slow so you can don't trip.
Could you hold on a minute? Jeez.
Oh,
Shakira! Shakira! Shakira, ¿eres tú?
Wow. Hey, amiga, ¿qué haces acá? Te dije que no te corté el flequillo. Planchátelo y vamos, dale, dale.
What's this game?
You think I'm cute? Yes or no? Yes?
Oh shit, not good.
Quasi, what is that? Here she comes.
Mama, mama, mama. Mama, oh yeah, mama.
Hi everybody, Dan Ullman, Mike Beer, taking a look at the DRF race of the day for Friday the 13th. It's race number 12 at Remington Park. Kentucky Derby points on the line, Mike Beer, in the Remington Springboard Mile. Let's throw up the field to these two-year-olds, and we have got a big full field going the two-turn mile at Remington Park. Speed King, 7-2 on the morning line, why not? Nice debut effort at Churchill Downs, but it was sprinting. 82 buyer speed figure for that performance. That's tops in the field.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm sure there's a Derby horse in here, Dan. Derby King, I liked his debut quite a bit. I mean, I thought he was very handy in that race. He was staying on pretty well, even though he didn't change his lead here. We'll see if he stretches out.
Looked like he beat a pretty solid field. We know he has speed. And in Mary Rampolini's race advance for DRF, she had an opportunity to talk to Ron Moquette. And Ron says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're going to the front. He agrees with Timeform US's assessment. Here's the pace projector for the Remington Springboard Mile. Speed King expected to make the lead, but uh-oh. See that red bar? Could be a fast pace, and that could help the number one, Cole Battle. Note the LP flag over Cole Battle's chicklet. This guy who's 2-for-2 on dirt, he has the fastest time for him, U.S. late pace rating.
Should get a decent trip from the rail, too, the one here. Dan, we'll see. The pace to me was pretty hard to decipher. There are so many horses stretching out in here. And, you know, certainly could get fast, but that 3 speed, he did show a lot of speed in his debut.
And before I forget, remember to access those free Formulator Pass performances for the Springboard Mile on the Race of the Day event page at drf.com. Take a gander and handicap along with us. We'll start things off with Cole Battle. 2 starts on dirt, 2 wins, and scored around 2 turns last time out, going 6.5 at Delta Downs. It's a very wet track in the Jean Lafitte Futurity. Cole Battle's still a little bit green, as you see, drifting out in the stretch, but he's just too good for this group.
Don't love that he was drifting out there, but it was only briefly, and then he straightened himself right up, Dan. He won this race easily. I also just appreciated the fact that he had trouble on the first turn of this race when a horse sort of dropped over on him. He had to cross over that horse's heels and drift way out on the first turn. He overcame that. He overcame that little miscue in the stretch. He won easy. He got a competitive figure for that effort. His debut, I know it was a five furlong race, Dan. It was another wet track. He was pretty impressive winning that race, too, with a 4-5 wide trip. I mean, there's a chance this horse can really go with these horses.
Showed the ability to sit off those fast pace last time out, those fast fractions, and kick on home. Could be a similar situation here. Trip is going to be so important in this race, with a full field going a mile and a short run into the first of 2 turns. Blue Angel is one of 2 in here for trainer Steve Asmussen, who's won the Springboard Mile about a million times. Blue Angel's got a really nice pedigree. He's by Gunrunner. He's a half to Kinetic Sky. I know you're familiar with him. He's a stakes winner in New York. Blue Angel wins his career debut as the favorite, and he's pretty game battling in between horses, and the third place finisher would come back to place with a 59 buyer speed figure, which is kind of good news because Blue Angel only got a 34
figure. The figure just makes him really hard to get behind in here, Dan, and also just the fact that you know, when you go back and watch the full replay, I mean, this guy, he worked really, really hard to win that race in slow time. We'll see if he's better than that. It was a wet track. Maybe he needed one. It was 6.5-2 for a first-time starter. That can be pretty hard. He's hard to like just off of the one race, but Asmussen pointing him here might mean something.
But he's bred, and I just have a feeling he's going to get better around two turns. Maybe this is too much too soon. But down the road, maybe he'll continue to improve as the distances increase and he benefits from maturity. Speed King is the number 3, 82 buyer speed figure. Sure didn't run like a 22-1 shot when winning his career debut at Churchill. The runner-up came back and placed with an 83 buyer speed figure. Speed King showed big speed, as Mike mentioned, didn't change leads in the stretch. How much does that bother you when they stretch out?
I mean, it doesn't bother me. It's only his first start, Dad. I'm not going to, you know, go overboard on it. This horse, ultimately, the debut overall, he did a lot of good things in there. He didn't make the lead right from the gate, but he just sort of cruised up and took over on the backstretch. And when you watch, I mean, I think it's worth watching the stretch run, too, because, yeah, he didn't change leads. He was sort of digging in there, and he wasn't getting away from those horses, which, you know, initially I thought, I wonder if this horse is going to stretch out. But then you watch him pass the wire. And he just kept, he ran right through the line. He just kept going around that far turn. They didn't get anywhere near this horse on the gallop out. So maybe he will stretch out. I do think he's talented.
Boy trainer Brett Calhoun's done good work for a long time, and he's got one of the home court edge horses in here in the 4, Dominant Spirit, who looked good graduating going 5/8 of a mile. I thought he ran really well when he was beaten as the favorite last time out in the Clever Trevor. I know the horse that beat him is in here, but that was a very fast pace. He did all the dirty work, and he dropped a decision by less than a length. Now he's going to stretch out. He's by one of your favorite stallions, Mohamed.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess he's got enough pedigree to stretch out, right? I will say this. I can't say that I loved his Clever Trevor. It did look like his rider wanted to get off the inside up the backstretch and sort of stalk from the outside, but he had a horse there and he couldn't do it. So he was sort of forced to go up the rail, and then he just wound up contesting the pace all the way around the turn and through the stretch. So he actually did some good things in there, and he was a really good second. He's got to improve off of that.
Brooklyn Alley Cat, the number 5, has really taken his game to another level since stretched out around two turns. A maiden win on turf, and then this victory going the mile at Remington in a first-level allowance. Now, there was a pace collapse in this race. The first two finishers, they're both back in this race. They come from last and next to last, respectively, to complete the exacta. You probably have to say they were aided by the pace. The good news is they're probably going to be aided by another good pace.
Yeah, the race shape was really good for these two horses. And Brooklyn Alley Cat, as you saw there, as they came to stretch down, he went around to the outside. That runner up there, Kino, who's back in here, stayed towards the inside and got through, got to save a little more ground. But this horse was just better at the end. The race set up great for them. It might set up great for them again. They'll both have to get faster.
SA is the number 6, and he was listed as a first-time gelding leading up to his most recent start. This is a nominer's a two-life allowance going 5.5 furlongs, and SA showed good tactical speed, latched right onto the pace setter turning into the stretch, and I like the short comment, determined. It's exactly what SA was. He writes his own story into the winner's circle. The problem is we've tried him twice against Stakes Company, one against turf at Kentucky Downs. You don't have to fault, but the Kip DeVille wasn't very good.
Yeah, he didn't run well the one time they tested him. He's got wins now at 5 and at 5.5 while showing speed. This pace is probably going to be pretty fast, and he's going to have to carry it a lot longer than he has so far.
Jolly Samurai is the number 7. He is a perfect 3 for 3 in his career, and I like how the Texas bred is slowly stretching out in distance from 5.5 to 6 to 7. Now he's going to prove he's not a closing sprinter. Let's watch the Clever Trevor last time out. He comes from way off of a fast pace to beat 3 of these. Dominant Spirit on the lead in the stretch. He's going to end up finishing second, but you got to like the way Jolly Samurai's been finishing up his races, and he earned a Fig 2 back.
Yeah, he's a really good finisher going short. These horses, they're the toughest ones to evaluate, Dan, when they stretch out, because they don't always deliver the same kick going long that they are able to deliver going short. Obviously, if this horse can do it, he's a major, major player in here, and he's supposed to have a setup. But, you know, there's always the chance that he's not going to stretch out, and it's not like he's going to be a great price in here.
And that was Jolly Samurai winning the Kip DeVille 2 starts back. His Clever Trevor was a very similar performance from off of the pace. Complex Music is the number 8. Now, like Essay, this is a horse that's tried Stakes Company twice, once on turf, hasn't passed that test just yet, But maybe his last race is a sign that he's slowly figuring it out. This is a, now there's a two-life allowance sprinting at Horseshoe Indianapolis, and this horse got a really nice trip. He just parked himself off the two speeds in the three path, made a bid to the lead, and he just turns on the afterburners the final 16th of a mile. It's not like this pace was blazing. So I think all in all, he got a very good trip. He is going to stretch out. You have to respect Asmussen at a price, at least in this race.
Yeah, you do, especially if this horse is going to be a price, and we'll see how they wind up betting it. I mean, he certainly took a huge step forward in that last race, and I think it's notable, too, Dan, that he delivered that effort on short rest. It almost feels like Asmussen knew this horse was getting good. He put him right back in the box last time, and he really blew that field out with a figure.
Dr. Ruben M. is down from Southern California for trainer Doug O'Neill, and he graduated in his fourth lifetime start, going a two-turn mile at Santa Anita, and he did so using speed. Edwin Maldonado tried to break the race open right here at the 3/16 pole. It's looking good for Dr. Ruben R., and all of a sudden, it's going to start to get a little bit worrisome for Dr. Ruben R. fans. He is noticeably tired, but the wire comes in the nick of time.
Yeah, he's getting tired here. He's starting to drift off the inside, but he had such a big cushion there through the stretch. They couldn't catch him. He did go pretty fast early in that race, though, Dan. He's probably going to have to go fast again in here. It's unproven so far that he can be effective without the lead. So, you know, a fast pace could really work against this horse, but it feels like they shipped him into a pretty good spot.
And the runner-up from that last race has come back to do some good things. Second in a maiden special at Del Mar, earned a 77 buyer speed figure. Medicine Dog is a well-bred gelding by constitution. His dam was a grade 2 stakes winner in New York, but she was more of a sprinting type. And now Medicine Dog's going to have to stretch out around two turns for the first time. The debut was good, but it was for a $30,000 tag. Taken out of that race, this horse needs to improve. Maybe the blinkers spark it.
Yeah, he actually, though, I mean, listen, if you just want to base it off the Clever Trevor, where he faced a couple of these horses, and I think a couple of horses in here who are contenders in this race, it's not like he was embarrassed by them. He didn't have, you know, some kind of big excuse. He got a good trip in there. He had dead aim through the stretch, and he, you know, wasn't quite good enough, but he was hanging around there inside the 16th pole. He was pretty bad last time, but man, short price and everything. I always want to be a little lenient. Dropping back from 7 to 5.5, man, that is not easy to do.
The 11 is Mr. Omaha. This is an Oklahoma bred coming into this race on a roll on the back of 3 consecutive victories, all against state bred stakes competition. Here's the win last time out. First time two turns going a mile over a sloppy track. He wins as much the best, but you just have to wonder what he's been beating. You look at the horses that have come out of this race so far. They haven't acquitted themselves very well. It's a big step up in class and a tough post position.
Yeah, another horse who doesn't really change his lead through the stretch there, but he's just galloping here. I don't think that had anything to do with his performance in there. He buried that field. He showed that he could stretch out. If there's a wet track in play, he showed he can handle that. He's also shown that he can race up close to the pace if he has to, or make a little bit of a run from off of it if he has to. I mean, this horse isn't hard to make a case for, Dan, and he might be a fair price.
We saw Kino finish second of Brooklyn Alley Cat in that first level allowance race, coming from well off of the pace. And that's just his style, one. And two, this post position is just going to force Jermaine Bridgemahan's hand. He's not going to want to be aggressive and lose ground going to the first turn. It's sort of break, take him back to last, save as much ground as possible, and hope for the best. Distance is going to be this horse's friend, though.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I don't know, man, I kind of wanted to like him a little bit. His Clever Trevor isn't great. I don't think it's as bad as it looks on paper, man. He got slammed at the start of that race and wound up last and tried to sort of make a run into it before he got tired through the stretch. He just didn't really run well enough last time to make me want to bet him back against this field.
Before we take a look at our top selections, please click the subscribe button on the Daily Racing Form YouTube channel for the latest DRF videos. Top pick time, Springboard Mile, Kentucky Derby qualifying points on the line. Cole Battle looks to make it 3 for 3 on dirt. And breaking from the inside in a fast-paced race, I think the jock just lets him break, hopes to avoid a little bit of pinching going into the first turn, and maybe get out and make a strong run.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I feel like he can get the right trip from the rail. We'll see. He's probably going to need that. But I like both of his dirt races enough to feel like he could contend with these horses. And I do think he's going to be a fair price.
I agree with Timeform US that I think this pace could be really solid. I could certainly see the 3 and the 9 going out there and producing some quick fractions. Complex music's going to have to prove it, stretching out in distance, stepping up in class. It is Asmussen in this race. I just think a good trip in the second flight is coming. And as you mentioned, maybe just Steve wheeling him back on short notice last time was a sign that perhaps he had this race in mind down the road if he got through. 1398 for Mike, 8391 for me. It's the $300,000 Remington Springboard Mile Race 12 at Remington Park on Friday. Good luck.
Hey, let me give you a hot tip. If you liked the content that you've seen before, click on the like and subscribe button right here. And of course, for more DRF videos like Race of the Days, Stakes Previews, click on the videos right here.
Hell, Natro. That's round, what, six?
Yep.
Round six. Just getting it wrapped up. John Boy, way to go, dude.
Good time right there.
You didn't get.
You are an old.
You didn't even get touched.
I got to hang out with some bull riders for a little while. They come out and said hi, so it was cotton candy, and they went back to.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, getting our stuff off here, but we round six. Josh Frost, 90 points.
Yeah.
Josh Frost goes 90. Another round win for him. What's that? Three this week.
Jordan Spears
got the monkey off his back.
He got me sore, I think.
Yeah, he's Chase is, I think he's having a lot of hip pain. Who else got something covered?
Jeter
Lawrence. Jeter was booting them. Everything he was worth. That bull might be a little sore tomorrow. Because Jeter was hammering, dude. Tuck, round six in the plug.
Did you?
Got a little bit of action. Wacy Shala, Trump Train, big pretty white muley with painted toenails. Beautiful bull. And then Wacy, he's a purdy bull. Wacy drops and hangs. Up in the bull rope and
hung up to the train.
I done knew I wasn't gonna get the first shot, and then Tuck, dude, I think we did the same thing. We both, great shot.
No, I hit the shot. Tuck, dude,
he had it, didn't he?
Grabbed his arm because I couldn't find the tail, but I didn't quite get my fingers wrapped around his arm, and then that head comes, so I just let it pass. And then you was kind of the same
job,
deal.
Guys.
I got the tail, but then when it came around again, the tail was floating and just
like when I swooped, like I thought I was going to have a good clean. I had a great pocket.
I grabbed the tail, come back around. I grabbed it and popped.
Like when I went, I barely missed his going under his arm.
I think it was still buried.
Same thing you had going. And then
we got it in and out.
He come out. So no harm, no foul for a hang up. But round number six in the books. John, maybe you'll get hit tomorrow.
I hope so. Timmy, get yourself.
Well, and Silver Bullet. That's the one that hooked me a couple years ago trying to go to your barrel. He got Tuck over against the wall.
Great job.
Cody Kidd?
Excellent job, every one of you.
Yeah. Thanks, Kidd.
Awesome.
Couldn't do it without you coaching, man.
Man, it's great.
A good one off Legacy.
Good morning.
Legacy's going to have a nice little head sitter.
Well, I thought Nate was going to have the gap on Logan's Legacy, yeah, too, and then...
Mr. Gone!
Hello, Mr. Gone.
Who made dinner? Bocat was on my side more. So
he did not.
I'm not.
I made it. I reserved it.
He reserved it.
He reserved it.
Yeah. I'm going.
Yes, sir.
I got to try to figure out on like Thursday.
I'm in a hurry.
Or whatever.
All right.
Well,
what day go?
Whatever day is good other than tonight. Can I call you in the morning or see you in the morning? Yeah. Check in the morning for Michaels. Shania Twain is here tonight. Got a picture with her also. Overall. Too tall, how's it picking up?
Good.
You stay on your horse?
I did, barely.
Barely? Did Kraft stay on his horse?
He did.
Benny, how'd you get along?
We didn't have no reride. They placed on the bull, so it's good.
So it's good.
Yeah.
So
it's good. It's a good night at the old National Finals Rodeo. Round number six. See y'all tomorrow.